Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jana Bhava Ivaradhavate Jana Bhava Ivaradhavate Sura Nandana Vraja Jano Ranjana Sura Nandana Vraja Jano Ranjana Yamuna Tira Panachalade Yamuna Tira Panachalade Jai Hura Dumpa Dumpa Kunya Vihavati Jai Hura Dumpa Kunya Vihavati Gopi jana barabha ire paradhanti Gopi jana barabha ire paradhanti Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tera Manachare Yamuna Tera Manachare Jai Hura Dumpa Dumpa Kunya Vihavati Jai Hura Dumpa Dumpa Kunya Vihavati Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Paravatakacharya Astutada Satishi Shimad His Divine Grace Abhaya Chanana Adavata Vedanta Gosami Srila Prabhupada Kijai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Kijai Namacharya Shubhirastakur Kijaya Prem Se Kohoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Shirvaitagadatha Subhasati Gaur Vakta Vrin Nikacha Shishi Radhakrishna Gopagopata Saim Gun Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturidam Kijai Jagadavasami Kijai Yamanamai Kijai Shivani Lasi Devi Kijai Samaveda Vakta Vrin Nikajai Go, Premananda Hari Hari Go. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 9, Text 29. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yad yujate asu vasu karma mano vachopir adehatma jadishu nivis atad asat pitakvat tair eva sud Bhavati yat kriyate apritakvat sarvasya tad bhavati mula yaseshanam yat. Yad yujate suvasa karma mano vacho bir. Dehatma jadi shunri vistara sat pritakvat. Taireva sat bhavati yat kriyate pritakvat. Sarvasya tad bhavati mula sisechanam yat. Yad yujyate suvasa karma mano vacho bir. Dehatma jadi shunirvistad vasat pritakvat. Aireva sat bhavati yat kriyate pritaktvat. Sarvasya tat bhavati mulas nisechananya. Yad yujyate suvasu karma mano vacho bir. Dehatma jadi shunirvistara sat pritaktvat. Tareva sat bhavati yat kriyate pritaktvat. Sarvasya tat bhavati mula nisechananya.
Sarva sattva Yadhyutsate subhasukarma manovachopir.
Yadhyutsate subhasukarma manovachopir.
Tehat mata chari subhrithistata sakrithatva.
Tehat mata chari subhrithistata sakrithatva.
Naireva satthavati yadhyate prithatva.
Naireva satthavati yadhyate prithatva.
Yat,
whatever
yujate is performed, asu, for the protection of one's life, vasu, protection of wealth, karma, activities, manaha, by the acts of the mind, vajubihi, by the acts of words. Deha atma jadishu, for the sake of one's personal body or family, etc. With reference to the body. Ribigi, by the human beings. Tat, that. Asat, in permanent transience. Pitaktvat, because of separation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tahi, by the same activities. Eva, indeed. Satvavati, becomes factual and permanent. Yat, which. Kriyate, is performed. Apritopvat, because of non-separation. Sarvasya, for everyone. Tatbhavati, becomes beneficial. Mula nishechanam, exactly like pouring water on the root of a tree. Yat, which. So translation, in human society there are various activities performed for the protection of one's wealth and life by one's words, one's mind, and one's actions. But they are all performed for one's personal or extended sense gratification with reference to the body. All these activities are baffled because of being separate from devotional service. But when the same activities are performed for the satisfaction of the Lord, the beneficial results are distributed to everyone. Just as water poured on the root of a tree is distributed throughout the entire tree. So you can repeat. In human society, there are various activities
performed for the protection of one's wealth and life, by one's words, one's mind, and one's actions. But they are all performed for one's personal or extended sense gratification with reference to the body. All these activities are baffled because of being separate from devotional service. When the same activities are performed for the satisfaction of the Lord, the beneficial results are distributed to everyone. Just as water poured on the root of a tree is distributed throughout the entire tree. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. This is the distinction between materialistic activities and activities performed in Krishna consciousness. The entire world is active, and this includes the karmis, the jnanis, the yogis, and the bhaktas. However, all activities except those of the bhaktas and the devotees end in bafflement and a waste of time and energy. Mogasya moga karmas. Moga jnana vichesta saha. If one is not a devotee, his hopes, his activities, and his knowledge are all baffled. A non-devotee works for his personal sense gratification or for the sense gratification of his family, society, community, or nation, but because all such activities are separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are considered asat. The word asat means bad or temporary, and sat means permanent and good. Activities performed for the satisfaction of Krishna are permanent and good, but asat activity, although sometimes celebrated as philanthropy, altruism, nationalism, this ism or that ism, will never produce any permanent result and therefore all bad. Even a little work done in Krishna consciousness is a permanent asset and is all good because it is done for Krishna, the all-good Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is everyone's friend. Suridam Sarvabhutanam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the only enjoyer and proprietor of everything. Bhaktaram Jagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwara. Therefore, any activity performed for the Supreme Lord is permanent. As a result of such activities, the performer is immediately recognized. Nacha Tasman Manusheshu Kushchit Me Priya Krita Maha. Such a devotee, because of full knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is immediately transcendental, although he may superficially appear to be engaged in materialistic activities. The only distinction between materialistic activity and spiritual activity is that material activity is performed only to satisfy one's own senses, whereas spiritual activity is meant to satisfy the transcendental senses of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By spiritual activity, everyone factually benefits, whereas by materialistic activity, no one benefits, and instead one becomes entangled in the laws of karma. So thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 9th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Lord Incarnates as Mohini Murti. Yatyushate suvasukarma manovachubhirde hatmajari shunavishtada satpritoktvat tareva sadbhavati yat kriyate pritoktvat sarvashyatad bhavati mula nishechanam yat. So, Omagana Timidanda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshuri Meditam Yena Tasmai Shidravena Maha. So we hear this statement, of course, many times in Prabhupada's lectures, by watering the root of the tree, all the different branches get watered. So therefore, We should only water the root of the tree. In other words, we should only serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, and other activities are absolutely useless, which Srila Prabhupada states here. And of course, in the Bhagavad Gita, we have a very nice verse, Nasato Vijite Bhavo Nabhavo Vijite Sataha Ubiyo Abhiturishtavantas Twanias Tatva Darshavi. That the sages have ascertained that those things which are temporary are unreal, are asat. And those things which continue to exist are real. So, what continues to exist, as Srila Prabhupada points out here in the purport, is devotional service. Prabhupada makes the point, Swapavapyasha Dharmasha Trayate Mahatobayat, that in this endeavor, as Srila Prabhupada translates in the Gita, there's no loss or diminution. Or as we often say to people, however much you advance in Krishna consciousness in this life, the next life will start off from that point. That's a standard thing we say to everybody. You become 5% Krishna conscious in this life, next life you start from that point, and you work up to 10%. Next life, you work up to 15%. Next life, you work up to 20%. I know. Of course, there's this other statement, Bhavanam Janmanamante. Gadavamam Prabhajate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurama. That after many, many births and deaths, one understands Krishna consciousness, that Krishna is everything. So you have all these different statements about the eternality of devotional service and the temporary nature of materialistic activities. So one can take these things in a radical or even a fanatical way, and basically, without really reading the verse and purport here, neglect the family, neglect one's body, neglect society, and neglect people in general, and neglect other living entities in the name of devotional service. And of course, that's known as third-class devotional service, a kanishta adhikari. Because a kanishta adhikari is thinking that the only service that one can render, of course, is rendering service to Krishna in the temple, and therefore other things or other people or other living entities are not that important. And that's really what devotional service is. But if we want to understand how to serve Krishna, we have to understand what Krishna wants. I mean, that's common sense. That if you want to understand how to render service to someone, you have to inquire for that person how to render service to them. It's not that you render service according to your own mental concoction to that particular individual. In fact, you may be doing a disservice. So, in order to render service to Krishna, we have to render service to all living entities. That's part of it. Now, it's interesting, Prabhupada, at the end of this purport, he quotes this verse which talks about preaching. It says, Nacha Tasman Manusheshu Kaschan Me Priyakritama. So that verse refers to Krishna's statement in the Gita that one who teaches this Bhagavad Gita to others is most dear to me. And of course, Krishna also says, never will there be one more dear to me than he who teaches Bhagavad Gita, he or she, actually to be more liberal nowadays, teaches this Bhagavad Gita or Krishna consciousness to the devotees. And of course, ultimately, everyone is Krishna's devotee. So, in other words, serving one's community, nation, other living entities can be done in the mood of bringing them closer to Krishna. It's not that one should ignore, as Prabhupada points out, as the verse points out here, the same activities are performed for the satisfaction of the Lord. In other words, you don't stop those activities. It's interesting how people misunderstand this verse and Prabhupada's teaching. It says, in human society, various activities performed for the protection of one's wealth, etc., etc., one's mind, one's action. But the whole point, the operative phrase here, is for materialistic reasons, they're performed for one's sense gratification. And for Krishna consciousness, the same activities are performed to please Krishna. In other words, you take care of your family, you take care of your body. I mean, many immature devotees, they don't take care of their bodies, and they think that... I mean, I remember this one statement one devotee said in the beginning of the movement, that the body should be treated like the catcher's mitt in baseball. And thank God I'm back in America, I can give baseball examples. When you're outside of America, nobody understands baseball examples. You've got to give cricket examples, or soccer examples, or rugby examples, which I can't even relate to. So anyway, so the example was, it's like a catcher's mitt. And in order to properly utilize the catcher's mitt, you have to keep punching it. I don't know if any of you have seen baseball. Of course, most of you are Americans. There's a few aliens here. So it's interesting how they refer to foreigners in the United States, aliens, the same thing as people coming from outer space. Anyway, so you keep punching. So are we meant to do that with our body? Just keep punching until we collapse? No, Prabhupada actually indicated in several occasions. I mean, one time Prabhupada arrived in the temple and the devotees were coughing. And Prabhupada actually indicated that they should get some warm clothes. You know, in the name of renunciation, they were sleeping on the cold, hard floor. In the name of renunciation, they were getting sweaters or coats or whatever for themselves. In the name of renunciation, they were walking around barefoot on the cold, hard marble floor. So Prabhupada indicated they should do something about it, take care of the body. I just listening last night to one of the Prabhupada memories, and Prabhupada was even advising, you know, there was a grihastha couple, and the grihastha couple wanted to have children, and then the lady was extremely sick, and Prabhupada says, not a good idea, because when you have a child, and the mother is extremely sick, the child will, of course, be sickly, and then he eventually sent that lady to Hawaii to recuperate. Because the lady was in Boston. Boston's not the best place for recuperation. Hopefully no one from Boston is listening to me right now. So Prabhupada was actually very concerned and encouraged the devotee. And Prabhupada said, you know, I'm an old man, you know, I can push myself a little bit, but you should plan on living a longer life to serve Krishna. So Prabhupada was concerned with the health of his disciples. And Prabhupada encouraged us to be considered, to be aware of what's happening with our health and take advantage and make some adjustments so that we can actually have better health. And also Prabhupada was concerned with devotees' families, making them favorable in Krishna consciousness. Think of the story of Brahmananda. When he took initiation, Prabhupada told him to offer obeisances to his mother's feet. Can you imagine that? I mean, his mother wasn't a devotee. Mother was actually opposed to Krishna consciousness. But Prabhupada told him to do that because Prabhupada was concerned with his family. And devotees also nowadays, they're distributing prasadam. I mean, we have all these different programs. There's this Food for Life program, and different organizations have, you know, there's another organization associated with this, kind of the Akshay Patra program. There's all these different programs that distribute prasadam, and some devotees say, well, this is just completely mundane to distribute prasadam to the schools, just like we have millions of plates going out every day in the major cities of India, like Mumbai and Delhi and other cities. I mean, I was just in Mumbai, and there's all these, let's say, trucks going out filled with prasadam every day. It's such a wonderful activity. Some devotees say, well, this is, in criticizing, they said, well, it's not food for life, it's food for death. Because they say this is just mundane charity. Well, first of all, one has to see whether it's satisfying Krishna. That is the ultimate test. And one way that it satisfies Krishna, of course, is the people are getting prasad. And Prabhupada said, anyone who takes prasad, even an animal who takes prasad, will take a human birth in the next life. That engages people in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said we are kitchen religion. Another way is that it establishes our movement as something important in people's eyes, so people will take us as important. Just like there's an associated organization that has this Akshay Patra, and they're associated with this con, I'm not going to criticize them. And they become so prominent and wealthy, they're building giant temples, even bigger than ISKCON's temples. But I would say they're an associated organization. Of course, some people may disagree with me on that. So, because of the fame that they've acquired and the context they've acquired in order to spread prasadam or distribute prasadam. So one has to also think strategically. Not that we just look at the particular activity that's happening on a moment-to-moment or temporary basis, but think strategically in spreading Krishna consciousness. And because of our prasadam distribution now, ISKCON's prasadam distribution, the chief minister of Bihar has given us like hundreds of acres of land right on the national highway. And Bihar is a very important state in India, has given us hundreds of acres of land right on the national highway to build a temple, and they're going to pay for us to build a hospital and pay for a school for the indigenous people. Indigenous means, you know, the people who are like the uneducated Adivasis. Adivasi, basically the word Adivasi means the original people who live there, but it means the people who are something like in Australia, you have your Aborigines, or here in America, you have the American Indians, like that. So we're becoming prominent because of our contacts with the government, because of the charitable activities we're doing. And recently, Gopal Krishnamar has met with the president of India, who's actually retiring right now. Many of you may have seen this on the internet. And the president expressed great appreciation for our movement. He's been to Mayapur. And he's ready to help, even though he's leaving his office, he's ready to help our movement in so many different ways. So one also has to think, the point I'm making is one has to think strategically, although an activity may appear to be mundane. Of course, prasadam distribution is never mundane. Or meeting with politicians, one may actually say, what do we need to meet with politicians? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never met with a politician, or he refused, and met surreptitiously, secretly, with Prataparudra Maharaj. You all know that story? Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused to meet with Prataparudra Maharaj because even though Prataparudra Maharaj was a devotee, because he had taken the position of being king, Lord Chaitanya considered him to be contaminated. And Prabhupada said that Lord Chaitanya was nirupeksha, not interested in this world, but we are interested in this world for Krishna. The reason Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to be not interested in this world is that he was setting the example of a perfectly renounced sannyasi, as he was in the mood of Srimati Radharani, being Krishna himself, feeling separation from Krishna, but that's something else. But Prabhupada said, we are interested in this world. Prabhupada said, you know, take a picture of him raking in the money rather than pushing away the money like some impersonalist sannyasi once did. So this is called Yukta Vairagya. So one has to be very intelligent in utilizing this world, utilizing, protecting one's wealth and life. And another thing I was listening to yesterday, Prabhupada was so protective of money, it was incredible. There was a story, Prabhupada sent one of his servants out to get an eye cup. An eye cup is that particular thing where you wash your eye, you know, if you have some problem, because Prabhupada had some sort of itching or something in his eyes, so he wanted to do an eye wash. So he sent the devotee out to get an eye cup, and the devotee came back with his eye cup. It was in India, and he asked the devotee, how much are you paid for it? And the devotee said, 6 rupees. And Prabhupada got angry with him. He said, 6 rupees, it should only cost 3, you rascal. You know, so can you imagine, like, 3 rupees? I mean, someone getting upset over 3 rupees. But Prabhupada was teaching how important it is to protect Krishna's energy, protect Krishna's wealth. Prabhupada sometimes would call the devotees damn cheap babus because they were thinking they were getting some good deal in India and actually spending too much money. And I was just speaking to Shrutakirti. I was with Shrutakirti recently in Hawaii, the hub of sense gratification in the United States. Anyway, so I was with Shrutakirti, and I asked Shrutakirti, when Prabhupada was flying or buying tickets in an airplane, did Prabhupada fly first class? And he said, generally, no. Because he said, you know, why should we waste money? So it was interesting. I was thinking it probably would always fly first class. Sometimes if someone sent Prabhupada a ticket, it would be a first class ticket. But when Prabhupada actually had to purchase his own tickets, he didn't purchase a first class ticket. Interesting, isn't it? Because one time they purchased a first class ticket, and Prabhupada said the only difference is they're feeding us liquor and food. And we're not interested in their food, and we're not interested in the liquor. So what's the use? It's true, I mean. I just got upgraded to first class without paying for first class. And they were just simply going around, you know, offering liquor. People were getting drunk, Bloody Marys and everything like that on the plane. It was ridiculous. I mean, what's the advantage? So anyway, so Prabhupada was very conscious about protection of wealth and life and protection of the devotees and interested in the devotees were... It's interesting. Interesting that the devotees had enough sense gratification in terms of enough prasadam. Prabhupada said, the business of a temple president is to make sure everyone gets enough prasadam and is jolly. So you see, Prabhupada was very much concerned in a holistic way, in a practical way, in a strategic way, with all these things that are mentioned here. For Krishna's pleasure. Because Prabhupada always was focused on the whole idea of what is the best way to spread Krishna consciousness. He was very much mission-oriented. Mission-oriented means that you have some particular vision or mission and you focus on it 24 hours a day. Prabhupada certainly did that. I mean, even up to the time of leaving this world, Prabhupada was giving instructions to the devotees. He never deviated from the mission. So in accomplishing this mission, and the mission is, of course, as Prabhupada mentions here, that to teach Krishna consciousness to others. Nacha tasman manusheshu kaschid me priyakritama. In other words, to spread Krishna consciousness, to give other people Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada was ready to apply the principle of yukta vairagya. Yukta vairagya means to use things in Krishna's service. In spite of people criticizing sometimes Prabhupada for using modern technology. Of course, modern technology in Prabhupada's day would be considered primitive technology today. You know, telephones and everything like that. I mean, Prabhupada even used the telephone, although Prabhupada wasn't attached to the telephone. It was the first time Prabhupada got the telephone. Someone called him up in the middle of the night to ask him how he was and woke him up. But Prabhupada certainly used the telephone. I also have been watching these Prabhupada memory series in the evening while I take prasadam. There was an interesting story how Prabhupada called one devotee to give him instructions. And this devotee didn't know it was Prabhupada. He actually thought it was another devotee who was expert in imitating Prabhupada's voice. The devotee who was expert in imitating Prabhupada's voice, the devotee who was talking was Keshava, one of the original book distributors of this time. And the devotee was interested in, who was always imitating Prabhupada's voice, was Chandanacharya. Interesting. And so Prabhupada called Keshava on the phone for some particular purpose. And then he thought it was Chandanacharya. And he kept chastising Chandanacharya when it was actually Prabhupada. Can you imagine that? You know, Prabhupada calls, you know, I would like this. Chandanacharya, stop this nonsense already. And then finally, after a minute, Prabhupada said, this is your spiritual master speaking. And then Keshava said, okay, excuse me, Prabhupada, I thought it was Chandanacharya who was imitating your voice. So Prabhupada, in other words, Prabhupada used technology. He was a very practical person. He adjusted things sometimes when something didn't work. Very practical, mission-oriented. For example, when Prabhupada first told the devotees not to wear wigs on Sankirtan, because Prabhupada considered hair to be like hippie seeds. It's interesting. The reason he considered it like that, because the people he was preaching to, they had a long hair when they joined the movement. And of course it says in Bhagavatam, in Kali Yuga, people think they become beautiful by keeping long hairs. So the devotees, in order to preach or in order to distribute books effectively, had to fit in with everybody else. Because if a devotee went out and he just had a bald head or short hair, he'd be looked at like a complete weirdo. It's quite different than nowadays. Nowadays, of course, you got all these the boomers, that's us, the baby boomers, who can't grow the hair anymore. So therefore you see all these advertisements in the airline magazines about these different caps to put on your hair to make your hair grow again, because it has infrared light in it, thousands of dollar cap. So nowadays so many people, it's become fashionable to have a bald head. But in those days, it was fashionable to have long hair, and if you had a bald head, you were weird. So devotees were wearing wigs. And so when Prabhupada saw that or heard about that, a devotee complained to Prabhupada about it. Prabhupada said, stop wearing the wigs. And so another devotee came to Prabhupada, I believe it was Ramaswar, might have been, and said to Prabhupada, if we stop wearing the wigs, then book distribution will drop by 50%. And Prabhupada immediately changed his direction. He said, okay, wear wigs if you need to. It's interesting. So Prabhupada was extremely strategic, because he was mission-oriented. That's the point I'm making. So whatever was required... I'm hearing myself. As much as I love to hear myself, I don't like to hear myself during class. So other times I look at my own picture and listen to myself. So the point is that Prabhupada was very much mission-focused, mission-oriented, and he used all these things. He protected the devotees, was interested in society for the purpose of spreading Krishna consciousness. So the main point I'm making is we don't want to apply this verse fanatically and treat our parents badly and treat society badly and treat other living entities badly and treat our body badly, neglect our body in the name of Krishna consciousness. We should seek to maximize. I mean, even insofar as Ekadasi, let's talk about Ekadasi. Ekadasi, sometimes devotees undergo these severe austerities and they don't understand the real purpose of Ekadasi is to chant and hear and be more Krishna conscious. No one ever went back to Godhead by performing physical austerities. There's this misunderstanding. One goes back to Godhead by maximizing Krishna consciousness. And of course, preaching after you've taken care of your own Krishna consciousness is the ultimate maximization. Therefore, even on Ekadasi, Śrīla Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur sometimes gave his disciples grains, rice, so they could go out and preach Krishna consciousness. Anyway, so these are some of the points. So we got about 15 seconds left. We got about minus 3 seconds left. 10 seconds. All right, so we have to end. Sorry about that. Want to thank everybody else for joining us online. Gora, Sarvashakti, Radha Mohan. Oh, we got people from all over the world. Ira, Ira, Sandeep, Owen. Too many people have mentioned. All glory is the problem.